since I've been here. How many have never seen me before and have no idea who I am, and you never heard me speak before? How many of all of you have heard me speak before? Okay, all right, so kind of know where we are. And I'm Chuck Harding. This is my wife, Jo. Honey, stand up and say hello to everybody. There she is right there. And my wife and I, and we've been married for 43 years. She doesn't even look 43. I get that, but you know. But in any case, though, she travels with me now all over the United States. I certainly appreciate the fact that she's able to do that. And we have a lot of fun together and are very thankful that God uses us in the ministry. And I'm one of those people, I've been known to go out hunting, but I'm never ever trying to get away from my wife. I've heard guys say, you know, I need to get away from my wife. I can't understand that. I'm always trying to get to my wife, okay? And a good day for me is just sitting next to her. She doesn't have to do anything, say anything, just sit there, and that's a good day for me. So that's how I feel about my wife. I hope you feel that way about your spouse as well. But we live in a miraculous nation, okay? And this country that we live in truly is born out of God. And you think about this, we're the only other nation in the history of mankind that started from the premise of God's Word. Israel and America, only two in all the annals of history. All other nations, if they do it all, they come to the truth. They don't start with the truth. Even Great Britain, with their great missionary efforts of yesteryear, they came to the truth. They didn't start with the truth, but we started with the truth. In fact, years ago, I stood right where the separatists got on the speedwell and asked God before an open Bible that's depicted in a painting there in the Capitol Rotunda of the United States called the Embarkation, that in 1620 they asked God to get them across the Atlantic. And if he did that, and if they arrived safely, they would establish a nation that would be for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. What an amazing thing to think about. And of course, William Bradford was their magistrate. And we just got through with Thanksgiving. I've been praying about what to bring this morning. I may bring a message, actually, even though Thanksgiving, we've just celebrated it. I think it's something that we need to understand in America. We need to practice something called Thanksgiving. So I may bring that message this morning. I've been praying about what message to bring today. But when they got over here the first year, they were not used to the rigors of the new world. They didn't know how to hunt. They didn't know how to fish. They weren't dressed appropriately, and half of them died. Think about that. Half of the entire colony died. And a lot of mourning, a lot of weeping, but yet being Christians, knowing that the blessed hope is that they would see those people again, their loved ones. The second winter, I'm sorry to say, they hadn't learned their lesson yet, and another half of them died. The remaining portion, half of them died. So they were down to, you know, about a fourth of the people that they started with. And then some Native Americans came in, and I'll tell you that story a little bit, and Native Americans showed them what to do. But William Bradford, the point that I wanted to get to here, William Bradford said, you're all going to die. You need to come back with me to Europe. And they said, no. They said, if we be not foundation stones, may at least the Lord allow us to be stepping stones, that our children can stand on our shoulders and go forward and establish a nation for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And being blown off course, you know, they were actually in an area that was not chartered by the king, so they made their own charter. And they said, by the will of God. And, of course, they changed boats from the Speedwell to the Mayflower. And the charter, the Mayflower Compact, told God that they promised him they were going to establish a nation. And, well, they did. And here we are, beneficiaries of their sacrifice and worshiping in freedom without any fear of someone breaking into this assembly. You know, people, other areas of the world can't do what we're doing today. My wife and I went to China, and it was just one of those things. We don't normally take missions trips because our mission field is here in our country. But we took a missions trip to China. And I was speaking in one house church while another house church was being raided. And the people were taken down to the police station, and that missionary, after decades on the field in China, was expelled from the country. and not allowed to go back. But the people that were caught there, the professionals, they lose their jobs. Some of them lose their homes. How would you like to basically take your livelihood and everything you've worked for your entire life and put that on the line simply by going to church, you see? And so we have a tremendous advantage and opportunity today because other people have led the way. And so a lot of times when I ask people about our country, I ask them, well, where do you think the government sits? And I get all kinds of answers, and good answers, but I tell them, you know, all those answers about the state capital and nation's capital, they all may sound right, but really the government sits right here. We, the people. That's how our documents begin. Those folks in the nation's capital, the people in your state capital, in your community councils, they're just representing we, the people. So why are we not self-governed today? Well, the reason why is because we have been dumbed down. Yeah. Because we have been told that, the people in Washington, D.C., they're in control. No, they shouldn't be. They are today. And the reason why is because we've given it to them. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I'm going to repeat this a few times this week, but hey, our future of our country will never belong to the heathen unless we give place to the devil. You understand that, right? And so just to give you a little better understanding of what position we hold in the service to the Lord, I'm an evangelist when I'm in the pulpit, but I'm also a missionary to Capitol Hill, to the government. And people ask me a very, very good question. It's a fair question. How can you be a missionary to the government? I'm as much of a missionary as any of those people on the board that you have back there. Okay? And in fact, my wife and I, the only way we can do this is by the support of the local independent Baptist churches of America. That's how we can live in Washington, D.C., you see, and do what the Lord's called us to do. Well, then, Brother Harney, is that biblical? Look with me to Acts chapter 9, if you would, please, and I'll show you. Because when someone asks me a question, I always want to go to the Bible, don't you? Because, you know, what I think doesn't matter. You understand that, right? When we get into a conversation, people say, well, this is what I think. I don't care what you think. I'm not trying to be unkind. I could care less what you think. In fact, it doesn't matter what you think, nor what I think. But what matters is what God says. Okay? And what we're supposed to do is cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring all of our thoughts into what? Into the captivity of the mind of Christ, which is the Bible. And so we go to the Bible. And, hey, as independent Baptists, one of the things we should be is biblicists. Amen? I mean, that's what drew me to the Baptist Church, and specifically the Independent Baptist Church, because I realized this. These people are very biblical. They're biblicists, and I want to live my life by the Bible, through the Bible, and from the Bible. And that, you know, this term has been rather disparaged, but it's a good term. What we need to have is a biblical worldview. You understand that? Filtering everything through God's Word that comes into our thoughts, that we look at, that we listen to, all of these things. We need to filter how we think about things. And not too long from now, I'm going to be actually speaking up in New York City. And the pastor, I've already talked to the pastor, he said, you know, some of our people, congregation, is very diversified here in New York City, and some of them have drunk the Kool-Aid, okay? Meaning that they are in some way culturally affected, politically correct. I don't want to be politically correct. Amen. By the world standards. I want to be biblically correct. Amen. I want to be historically correct, his story, and I want to be, you might say, constitutionally correct, because our Constitution is based upon the Bible. 28 Amen. Biblical principles. 28 biblical principles. Isn't that amazing? I mean, even our immigration systems based upon scriptures, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But what we have to realize is it's, you know, it's like spiritual taste buds. If you know what tastes good, and the Lord said what?
Taste and see.
Taste and see, right? Now, I don't know if you men will confess along with me, and the rest of you young people just kind of close your ears for a minute here, but there was a time in my life as a young person, I went to the refrigerator and there was a full gallon of ice cold milk sitting there and had condensation dripping off of it, and it spoke to me. And you know what it said? Forget about the glass. Just pick me up, tilt me over, and let me go. And I made sure Mom wasn't looking, and sure enough, I did that. But there was one occasion, I don't believe my mom did this on purpose. She was a very lovely lady. But instead of that cool, silky substance going down my throat, it was more along the consistency of cottage cheese. And when it hit my taste buds said, spit it out! And I did, okay? And so that's what we need to do with a lot of the things that try to encroach upon our thinking. We need to spit them out. Because some of it, in fact, is some truth and then a lie embedded in there somewhere. And so we need to understand what God says and have a biblical worldview and go to the Bible. So when people ask me questions about the call upon my life, what Awake America is, I go to the Bible. Because for too long, we have thought that it's not spiritual to be involved in government. And that's just not biblical. Nor is it constitutional. Nor is it historical. And so biblically, first of all, and so Acts chapter 9, if you would please, go to Acts chapter 9 and look at this, because what this is actually the Lord speaking to Ananias concerning a man by the name of Saul who was about to go through a name change. So he was going to be now called Paul, okay? Up to this time, of course, he was giving his voice against the church, wasn't he? And he was actually putting people in jail that some of them went to their death. No wonder he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Huh? But here is the call upon his life. And I think it's very interesting because here it talks about three people groups that God was actually going to use Paul as his chosen vessel to bear his name before. And I want you to see this because it has to do with my call upon my life as well. Acts 9 and verse 15, it says, but look at this, the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to, look at this, bear my name before the Gentiles. Now, I'm glad about that, aren't you?
Yes.
Amen? Because that's who, anyone here that's a Jew, that's a Jew, a completed Jew? Okay, then if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. Right. We come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, okay? But we're all in the same boat. And I'm glad that the Lord actually sent the gospel to us. Yes. And so, first of all, it's Gentiles, which I think is wonderful. But look at the second people group. It says kings. Isn't that interesting? So that's the government. And then, of course, it says, and the children of Israel. Okay? So the three people groups. Well, I want to, of course, see the gospel spread, but I understand something here, that God is putting in between the Jews and the Gentiles the government. It's kind of interesting. That's biblical, isn't it? So how many times did Paul stand before kings? Sure. And how many times throughout the course of the Bible did the people of God connect with the people of government? And what happened when they didn't? Things went awry, did they not? And so where have we been for decades where people have said, oh, it's not spiritual to be involved in government? I mean, how on earth could we have gotten to where we are today? And the reason why, don't blame the liberals. Don't blame those people that are rushing up to the Supreme Court and banging on the door of the Supreme Court and the mob that, of course, has been developed through and by our educational system and fueled by the mobocracy that we have today. Don't blame them. It's us. We're the problem because we've been disconnected, because we've been uneducated. And so Awake America Ministries is five things. We need to get educated as to who we are. And we start with the Bible, you see. And then we need, from education, we need to get engaged. We need to start going, because the connection between God's people and government has been from and through the Bible. Amen. Well, I don't think it's spiritual, actually, to be a government, a political appointee or a government official. Then you tell me who Joseph was. If he wasn't a political appointee. Mm-hmm. Who was Daniel? Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't he a political appointee? Mm-hmm. And, well, I don't think pastors should be preaching God and country messages. Are so funny. Because when I said this, people said, well, this is a brand new ministry, Brother Harding. I said, no, it's not brand new. It's very old. Oh, no, I mean, you know, the kind of messages that you're preaching, God and country. I said, have you looked to the founding of our nation back to the 1600s? Have you seen what the men from the pulpit were preaching in the threat of their own life? Do you understand why Patrick Henry gave that speech where he ended after he was spent in this amazing feat of oratorical skills where he said almost in a whisper, give me liberty or give me death, as he was putting his papers away, is because he was watching a Baptist preacher that they are trying to beat to death in Culpeper, Virginia, for not having a license from the state-run church that we had right here in the United States of America. So what do we need to do? I guess we need to go back to the Bible. I guess we need to go back to our history as Baptists. I guess we need to go back to the Constitution and realize that God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So the future of our country belongs to us. Amen. You understand that? So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the Sunday school lesson today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much now for loving us. And dear God, we pray now that you would undertake in a very special way during this Sunday school and then messages to follow, Lord. Oh, dear God, we ask for your presence to be here amongst us, your blessed comforter, the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, that he might lead and guide us into all truth. And through this day, keep a hedge protection around this assembly, Lord, and bind off the wicked and the evil, and help the cares and burdens, aches and pains of this life to dissipate for a while, and help us to focus on the eternal, dear God, and give us that sweet liberty, Father, that holy unction. And we'll be very careful to give you all the praise and glory for what you're about to do. Use me as thy vessel today. And Father, speak to me and through me. And Lord, we're simply sinners saved by grace. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Lord, because you are able and because, Lord, you have given us that affinity with one another through and by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray this in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power and the merit and the authority that is in his name we ask it. Amen. And so, then I am and have been called as a missionary to government, as Paul was called. And in fact, my pastor, and I believe in pastoral authority. See, what are you talking about, Brother Harding? A pastoral authority is this: because of the position of the pastor, he gives the pastor wisdom for you when you bring yourself under the leadership of the under-shepherd that he doesn't give to anyone else, positionally. See, so when my pastor said, you need to pray about a God and country ministry, I took that as from the Lord. And I prayed that night, and the next morning, I told my pastor, that's exactly what I believe God wants me to do. And so through the auspices of the New Testament church, and I am sent from a New Testament church, and I have a mission board, which is the Independent Baptist Church in Clinton, Maryland. I told my pastor, I said, you'll never be able to go wrong with a name like Independent Baptist Church, okay? Everyone will know exactly where you stand. You better stand right where you need to stand with a name like that. But that's my mission board, and of course, that's my pastor. But my pastor in Oklahoma City, I said, you need to pray about this type of ministry, which I did. And so I basically answered the call to this ministry 15 years ago. And God's done some amazing things. He's opened some doors now that I had no idea that God would ever open. And these doors have led us into the vice president's office every Wednesday now for a Bible study. And so I enter in through the White House complex and go through the Secret Service, you might say, three checkpoints, and sit down in the vice president's office every Wednesday and have a Bible study and contribute. And it's an amazing thing. And I've met some amazing people and been able to walk in and talk to people and let them know we're praying for you daily. And I've met the president and talked with him. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, that our president, he's not who we are. I said, I completely agree. He's definitely, now Jeffers, the Southern Baptist pastor from Texas, he claims he's led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't see that yet. Well, I got saved when I was 21. It took me a year for my character to start to change, you know. And so if the president's saved, I know he's not sanctified yet, but, you know, hey, that's a process, okay? Salvation is an experience. It's one time. But actual growing in grace, you know, that's a process. And so he says things that we wouldn't say, and our eyebrows raise, you know, when he tweets out. But I sure am glad that he's there instead of Madam Hillary. And if you rathered Hillary, then you're in the wrong place, okay? All right? And she's not leaving because of that. I know it's a completely different thing. I just wanted to make sure that she was, you know, that. But in any case, what I'm saying is I'm so glad that we don't have Hillary. I was told by a congressman, if she gets in, our Constitution's gone. Okay? Some of the things that have happened since President Trump has been in office is amazing to me. I mean, moving our embassy back to, well, to Jerusalem, where it should have been all along, it is something that every president has promised since Clinton and broke the promise. But he fulfilled the promise. Aren't you glad he's doing what he's doing for our veterans? Amen. Aren't you glad that he is actually opening up millions of acres that Obama had put aside as monuments for coal and oil and natural gas exploration? I'm glad about that. Why? Because it keeps our nation's sovereignty in check. That we are a sovereign nation and we're powerful. And now, I in fact told the folks that we were eating, your pastor and Brother Dan and Jason, their families, that we're the number one nation in the world now for oil exportation.
Amen.
We export more oil than any nation on earth. And we have enough oil. We have more oil than all of the Muslim nations put together. And one reserve alone that hasn't even really been tapped yet, the Bakken Reserve, that extends over several states around the Wyoming area, we have 300 years worth of oil in that one reserve. And I mean, now the oil is flowing through the pipeline from Alaska. Isn't that wonderful? And I love it. The environmentalist said, well, it's going to decimate the wildlife in Alaska. Well, I've seen the pipeline. I've been to Alaska several times. I touch it. It's warm. And actually, the animals, the wild animals, are going under the pipeline because it's warm and they're having their babies there. And so the population is just exploding exponentially. Isn't it wonderful that the environmentalists get it wrong all the time, okay? And so, I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. And it's all because of this man by the name of Donald Trump that said, you know, I'm going to live a wonderful life. I'm a billionaire by the world standards. I'm going to live a wonderful life, but I want to do something for this country. And he is actually very much along the type of person our founding fathers wanted, a businessman that steps into government for a certain amount of time and does what he can to help the country and then goes back into business again. These career politicians that are in Washington, D.C., they shouldn't be there.
Right.
That was not intended. Okay, well, yeah, they're politically savvy. That works against and for us, you see. And so we need fresh blood going in there all the time. And people say, well, we need to have term limits. We have term limits. They're called elections. Problem is, we Christians don't get there. And we don't take enough time to learn the issues and learn the candidates and then get people motivated to run for office so that we can elect them so that they will watch out for us. And what happens when you have career politicians is, and we stay disconnected from them, they degenerate into thinking that they are the new aristocracy of America. But they're not. They're public servants. Back 2010, I had already been in the ministry for a while, but this is when God opened up the second phase of this ministry, which is, of course, literally being a missionary to Capitol Hill. And so we met with John Ashcroft, former attorney general, great Christian guy. And he said this to us. He said, now, you understand, okay, if you want my take on our country, you look at it all different levels, economically, socially, culturally, foreign relations, educationally. He said, and you see a lot of challenges on all these different levels. He said, but the fact is, this is spiritual warfare. He said, the bottom line is, we send missionaries throughout the world to preach the gospel from churches that we plant all over the United States to preach the gospel. And we should be doing that. He said, but you realize in sending missionaries all over the world, if we don't have missionaries going into Capitol Hill, very soon the church plants are going to stop and the missionaries are going to have to come home if we lose our civil liberty.
Amen.
Now, that's from a man that was the Attorney General of the United States and a true believer, not a Baptist. We'll forgive him for that, okay? But this man had a good take, and when he said that, the Holy Spirit of God touched my heart, and unbeknownst to me at the time, touched the heart of Pastor Mike Creed. And God called me to a second facet of this ministry, not just going around educating people, you know, because, again, the problem with us today is we don't know who we are, how unique we are, you know. And so, you know, there was a senator, in fact, and the senator, he had just been reelected, and so he was really feeling good about himself, you know, and he wanted to go visit his constituents. And so they were driving around the state, and he was going in and thanking them for getting out to vote. And they drove past a nursing home. He said, let's go visit the elderly. From the statistics, there was a lot of elderly that voted for me. And so he walked in, and there was a lady right there by the nursing station, again, feeling very good about himself. He said, do you know who I am? She said, oh, honey, don't worry about that. Ask the nurse. She'll tell you who you are. And that's America. We've forgotten who we are. We're no better than anyone else. But because our founding fathers, as a governing body, said there is a God. And God gives us certain unalienable rights, life. And as Thomas Jefferson said, the man that gave his life gave us liberty. The God that gave his life gave us liberty. And then the pursuit of happiness was property. And then they expanded it to the pursuit. They said God is, and God gives us these three basic things. That's an amazing thing. That's what makes America different from any other nation on earth. That's what makes us miraculous in citizens of this nation. And these young people here, and these girls are just, you know, they're looking at each other, giggling like girls do sometimes. They don't understand. These young fellows back here really don't understand what's going on, but we need to understand for them.
Yes.
Reagan said it this way, we are always one generation away from losing our freedom. We don't pass it on through our blood system. Today we would say through our DNA. It needs to be protected, preserved, to be passed on. And these young people in your church today, they're counting on us.
That's right.
To do something different in our life, something that we've never done before. And that is actually start learning who we are from our history, through our Constitution, and then doing something about it. That's what we have to do. We've been given a little space of grace. And that's why I go out every weekend and drag my poor wife along with me and try to wake up people to say, come to the next Capital Connection. I don't care what it costs or the time, because everything that you do for God costs time and money. And you'll do what you think is important. What is more important than keeping our country free that gives us the permission to accomplish the Great Commission? It all comes back to the cross. So the civil liberty that God's given us gives us the permission to go forward with the spiritual liberty that's in Christ. That is critical. You understand? These young people want to grow up in a nation where they can be free, they can think free, and they can do what God wants them to do, you see. And so that's what our responsibility is. My father was a World War II veteran. I mean, he spent years on the battlefield. My uncle, his brother, was shot down as a navigator in one of the big bombers and was badly burned throughout the top part of his body. They paid the price for me. We need to pay. Now, we're not at war today physically, but we are spiritually. You know what you need to do when you go to war? You need to prepare. Huh? Go through boot camp. You might say, this is just the beginning of boot camp. Just consider me your drill instructor. So, I'm not really a drill instructor, but I am one that wants to instruct, that wants to educate. So we'll become engaged and realize this. One phone call from you to your United States senator equals 10,000 phone calls. Well, come on, Brother Harding. That's a stretch. No, it's not. Well, demonstrate how a phone call can be effective. I'm glad you asked that question. Very intelligent people today. I like these questions. In California, last October, a year ago, you know what they did? They passed a bill that said pastors were not going to be able to monitor morality of their church staff, or if they had a Christian college or school, They couldn't monitor morale. That means if someone became egregiously immoral, the pastor, by law, would not be able to do anything. I'm talking about if there was a single woman and she got pregnant out of wedlock, or there was a man that came out and said, you know, I'm a same gender person now. Pastor couldn't do anything, couldn't fire them, couldn't do anything. And they were about to make that law in California. Pass the bill through the Senate and their assembly. It was sitting on Jerry Brown's desk. You know Jerry Brown is. Mr. Moonbeam himself, okay? And what they don't understand, what we don't understand, is a bill doesn't even have to be signed. In 30 days, it becomes law automatically. So he was just letting it sit there. Well, we've had already established and rolling pretty good Awake America, California. And pastors got together. I mean pastors. And made a conference call, one phone call to Jerry Brown's office. Didn't even talk with him, talked to one of his chief of staffs and said, we need to be exempt from this law. They said, well, we don't want you just throwing people away when they become immoral. The response from the pastors was, we don't throw people away. We're in the business of reconciliation and restoration. We'll remove this person from authority and leadership, and we'll try to restore them, reconcile them. And if they are, then down the road, the Lord perhaps will open up another door that they can go back in and assume some type of leadership, because we serve a God of the second chance.
Amen.
How do you do that? We do that from the Bible. You what? Yeah, from the Bible. This was on the 28th day they made this phone call, because they had exhausted all of their means. In the 11th hour, I was told by very good resources, Jerry Brown vetoed the bill and sent a letter back to his Congress and said, you've stepped out of your constitutionality. Churches need to be exempt from this one phone call. If that hadn't happened, you would already have seen churches closing their doors, Christian colleges, schools closing their door in California, lawsuits, and it would have spread to other states, because it would have led to a precedent that the leftists would have taken and tried to push into other states, but it failed. And then another one failed after that as well, about counseling same-gender people into a biblical salvation. And that's the second bill that, from one phone call, the author withdrew it even off the floor, but even before it could be voted on. What I'm saying is, we need to get educated and engaged. We need to start making some phone calls. We need to start realizing that we are the government. And we could do so much more if we just wake up. And that's, of course, one of the reasons why I call this ministry Awake America. And we go till 15 after, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
15:20.
15:20. Okay. A lot of times people say, well, where are we in our history, Brother Harding? And and what do we need to look at? And is there a sense of urgency? Oh, there's definitely a sense of urgency. Okay. And I'm going to show you by a cycle that is called the cycle of civilizations. I don't know if I hit on this last time. I don't think I did. So I want to show you. This is where all civilizations go through this cycle. All civilizations in time. Okay? We're no exception. All right? You know where man always begins? Bondage. You know why? Because the spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well. So men want to enslave other men. Okay? That's just part of this country. King George III wanted to enslave us, right? He was disobeying his own laws, and that's why we stood up against him. That's tyranny. You understand that, right? And I love the first seal of the United States proposed by Dr. Benjamin Franklin, and it was actually Moses leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea and a pillar of fire in the background. Around the words of the seal were rebellion to tyrants as obedience to God. And so we likened ourselves as a second Israel. And as Israel was delivered from the tyranny of Egypt, we said, we will be delivered by God from the tyranny of Great Britain. And we were. Amazing. You know, I told that to a congressman one time. He was going on the Mark Levin show, and then Hannity, because he had stood on the floor of the House and listed all the egregious violations that President Obama had done against our Constitution. And so I called him, and he's a good friend now. He's now he's actually the head of NASA Space Exploration, you know, our space agency. He is the one that's the proponent for the Space Force, by the way, which I'm very excited about. We need another branch of the service because other people like China, Russia are trying to weaponize space. And so we need to match that, okay? But in any case, I called him and I said, you've just joined a very unique group. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you've just joined the Patrick Henry group. He said, and then I explained to him what I was talking about. And I said, look, here's the first seal of the United States. You stood against tyranny today from the floor of the House. He said, is that really true? I said, yeah, it's true. Look it up. And then I showed him and basically shared with him several other things. Well, sure enough, we went on the Mark Levin show. And he asked me on the phone call, can I use your name? I said, no, don't use my name. You just stand and deliver for yourself. And so on the Mark Levin show, of course, Levin is a Jew. And you got to be careful when you listen to him because he uses some choice words. You know. So I don't normally listen to him. But in any case, he went on there. And Mark Levin being a Jew and knowing that we called ourselves a second Israel. Okay. He was just, I mean, and this congressman kept on saying, this preacher I know told me this, and it's true. And then he went on Hannity and said the same thing. And so this is what we're trying to do, is give them the information that they can stand historically, biblically, you know, and constitutionally. But it's bondage. And from bondage, we go to the next step. And the next step is faith. Okay? Faith. That's what happened here. Okay? I'm going to go into this in much more detail, but America was not founded upon revolution. America was founded on revival. The very thing that knit us together as a people was a commonality in our belief of God. And because so many people got saved through the Great Awakening, call it whatever you want to, but it was a national movement that literally changed the whole face of our colonial population to where tens of thousands of people were getting saved. Not in the state-run church, but out in wilderness clearings. And at night at churches where Patrick Henry, as a little boy, would be snuck out of his house in the middle of the night to go listen to an unlicensed preacher preaching. That's our heritage. So faith, from faith, courage. Why on earth, how on earth could we have a bunch of ragtag men that had plucked their squirrel rifles from over their hearths, merchants, tradesmen, farmers, and expect that we were going to be able to do anything against the greatest trained, disciplined military in the world at that time, Great Britain, who had also hired some Hessians, Germans, that were military from the nth degree, okay? It was in their blood. You can see from history that's so true. How are we going to do that? How on earth were 56 men going to sign a document that would make them guilty of treason by man's estimation? How on earth did they do that? I'll tell you how. From their faith, it led to courage. And we were discussing this last night over dinner, and I love this aspect of our country. Because a lot of times people say, well, yeah, they said this, and this is a great thing. They said, we mutually pledged to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. That was the courage. But before that was the faith. They said before that pledge of their life and their fortune, their sacred honor, they said with firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. So what they said was, we believe God's going to fight for us.
Amen.
And based upon our confidence in him that he's going to fight for us, that's how we're going to pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's an amazing thing to think about. You think about this too. We all enjoy living well, and there's nothing wrong with living well, with driving a nice vehicle, with living in a nice home, and wearing nice clothes, and eating good food. Amen. I appreciate being a Baptist because we fellowship around food. And mass quantities of food on top of that. Amen. My wife and I went to France years and years and years ago before I even started this ministry. And, you know, the French just eat a little bit, you know, a little bit here and a little bit here. Us Americans, man, we just go in, we order, you know. And I remember one French maitre d', my wife and I sat down and we ordered, you know, pretty good amount of food. He said, you want that to split between the two of you? I said, no, we want that. You both are going to eat? Oh, sacre bleu, you know. He walks up. He's probably thinking, Americans, those dirty Americans, are going to eat all this food, you know. I said, that's who we are, you know. Hey, we live in abundance, right? Okay? So, but our founding fathers, they didn't just live in homes. They lived in mansions. Some of the finest homes and huge farms in the nation. They lived way above everyone else. You understand? These were the royalty of America, the gentry class. Most people today in our society don't even know what the gentry means. But the gentry was American royalty. That meant this. You said, this person robbed from me, that person's going to jail. Just upon your word as a gentry. And if you were a gentry, you wouldn't marry someone that wasn't a gentry. Never. You couldn't, no matter how wealthy you were, buy into the gentry class. You had to be born a gentry. It was a caste system. These men gave it all up. Not just that, their homes, their wealth. I'm talking about wealth that was handed down to them from centuries. They gave it all up for a slim chance of founding a nation unlike any nation in the history of mankind. That's what I call courage born out of faith. Amen? And we today are living the lives that we are instead of the unwashed masses, as we once were called, the middle class of America, because of these men sacrificing from the courage. From courage to liberty. And we won. From liberty to abundance. And don't we have abundance in America?
Yes.
If you don't think we have abundance, go to Walmart, okay? Go to a Super Walmart, all right? Go to any grocery store and see all the fruits and vegetables. We don't have any lines waiting to get in. We have lines waiting to get out because there's so much stuff there. You understand there's lines waiting to get in to get a simple thing like applesauce in some of these nations. I mean, where you can't even pour a glass of water and drink it without. And I'm talking about France and England. I mean, don't drink the water over in France, you know? You'll get the green apple quick steps real quickly, okay? But we can pour a glass of water. And, you know, here in America, that's an amazing thing, the abundance that we have. But because where liberty is, there's always abundance. But this is where it starts turning downward, from abundance to selfishness. People start thinking about self because we have so much. From selfishness to complacency. Complacency is, I don't have time. Well, you understand, Brother Harney. I get it. But I don't have time to learn about my country. We better take time.
Amen.
Because we're almost about to lose our country. We better take time. We better start, even in our devotions, expanding them a little bit and including the Constitution that's based upon the Bible and teaching our children. This is their responsibility. And look, you understand, right? That people can be called to government like they're called to any other service for the Lord. I mean, that's biblical, where it says in Romans three times that people in service, public service, are people that are ministers of God. Somewhere along the line, we thought, well, you can be called to be a preacher, and you can call missionary, and you can call as a Christian school teacher, but you can't be called in the government. Oh, no. I know men, born-again Baptists, that say God put them right there for such a time as this. I mean, that's biblical. It's not just what I'm thinking. It's what God says. Well, there's just not a lot about the government in the Bible. Oh, really? Name me one Old Testament book that wasn't written by a government official, to a government official, or about a government official. First, Second Kings. Oh, I mean, it's there, right? But complacency, we go to apathy. And apathy is I don't care. I don't have time. I don't care. And this leads to dependency. And when you're dependency, you're one step back to bondage. Guess where we are? We're one step away from bondage as we sit here today. Where are a lot of our products coming from? Sure. Are we manufacturing like we did at one time? Look at our great steel mills that have been closed. Our manufacturing. We are in the dependency phase. In fact, there was one particular church and everyone was waving the American flag. And I was going through this and I said, you know, just about everything's made in China. Pastor looked at the flag and said, made in China. American flag, made in China. He went, I said, yeah, you know, every flag that flies over the capital of the United States has to be made in America. So I just want to show you that's where we are, and that's why we need to actually understand some concepts. That was my introduction, and I didn't get to my message this morning in Sunday school, but in any case, this is something that we all have to take part in. Why? For these little ones here. That we can keep our civil liberty maintained so the spiritual liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ can continue to go fast forward. So important. And so, Brother Codner, you want to dismiss us in prayer?
Father, we thank you for bringing Brother Harding and his wife to be with us for these few days. Thank you, God, for the burden that you've laid upon his heart and the message. God, help us to take it to heart, to realize the responsibility that rests with us to be educated and then to be engaged in the process of government. Lord, help us to keep our legislators' feet to the fire, both at the federal, state, and even the local levels. And God, just bless these days that we have with these dear folks. Stir our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen.